Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
There's a lonesome feeling in my heart tonight. Something that I've never felt before. A restless voice is calling from a distant range. A chilly wind is whispering at my door. When singing in the cottonwood trees, red and gold are showing in their leaves, and autumn melody is telling me it's time to move on. Geese are flying south, they sing a lonesome song. My heart keeps telling me you won't be here long. And autumn melody is telling me it's time to move on. On, on, time to travel on. On a little further down the line. Gone, gone, I may be standing here. I'm already gone in my mind. I know with winter a man should settle down at home in camp, far away from town. And autumn melody telling me it's time to move on. On, on, on beyond the distant hills, farther than the forest canyon rim. Gone, 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 just like a summer dream. Out where the dimmest trails grow dim, the sun's a-hanging low, and so alone I'll ride, with nothing but my shadow loping by my side. And autumn melody is telling me it's time to move on. And autumn melody is telling me it's time to move on.
R.W. Hampton, Autumn Melody. From Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Miss Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. You know, we're just 2 days away from the Ring of Fire solar eclipse. Albuquerque is one of the very best places to see it on Saturday morning. It will happen during the Balloon Fiesta that morning as well. They're expecting about 210,000 people out to the Balloon Fiesta field. And that same day, they're hoping to launch more than 600 balloons in order to break a international, an international, not a goal, international. break the previous record, you know, that was somewhere in South America, I think. So we're gearing up for really an amazing hour or so. It starts at 9:13 here in Albuquerque with a partial eclipse. We go full on at 10:35 is the maximum, and it ends at by 10:39. So it should be really interesting to watch this happen Saturday morning. Yeah.
Well, it should be. It should be.
That's all I got.
So I've been posting a few pictures of the Balloon Festival that have been popping up on Facebook. And yes, it's a cool deal. But I'm in a fall mood. And I'm sure that with the balloons, you have all kinds of beautiful color out there. But it's starting to turn around the country at different places. Mm-hmm. Some are a little bit earlier than others. But I'm just really in a fall mood. The weather is beautiful here in Tennessee. And we're in the 70s this week. Lows will be in the 40s. And by the time that we get into Saturday, Sunday, we're going to be down into the 50s. It's going to have a wind chill of about 40. So that's a little too much, a little too much fall for me. It's down in the 40s. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful weather we're having right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's always pretty in Albuquerque, I think. You've always got blue skies out there.
Pretty much. And pretty it was much. Cold the morning we were there for the Ascension Sunday morning. We were wrapped up really, really well. It wasn't our first rodeo, so to speak. And we were chilled until we got home. And we actually turned on our fireplace. We wrapped up in blankets. And it was a cold morning, Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, you know, I turned the heat on for the first time this week, you know, for a morning or two. So, yeah, it's a little taste of what's to come. But what is to come today? Campfire Cafe is a very special guest that we have joining us. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody who that is?
We are just delighted to welcome Ed Meyer for the first time to Campfire Cafe. I had the privilege of meeting him last year at the Albuquerque IWMA event and have been playing the music from the album Cowboy Serenade regularly this last year. And we just can't wait to get him on the air with us.
All right, so we're going to have a great time visiting with Ed and sharing some of his great music. And then in the second hour of the show, we have more fall music coming. And we're going to be talking with our good friend, Mr. Robert the Trailmeister Eversole. So stay tuned to the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Ed. It's called Wisp of the Wind. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Ed today on the Campfire Cafe.
Riding this valley along with on the whisper of the wind. No more loneliness, no more searching, for he found his whisper of the wind. Yes, he found his whisper of the wind. They live on the whisper of wind.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. Today's guest, Ed Meyer, just gave us his original Wisp of the Wind from his album, Cowboy Serenade. A true son of the West, today's featured guest, Ed Meyer, was born, raised, and lives in the piney woods of East Texas. From working cattle to riding bulls, Ed has always lived the cowboy way of life. Currently, he manages a small cow-calf operation for the Bar JJ Ranches in Texas. Inspired by personal experiences, researching old cowboy trail songs, and his travels through the trails of life, Ed enjoys putting his own spin on these stories in his writing and sharing of his songs and poems. Today we're featuring music from his album, Cowboy Serenade, including the two songs recently nominated by the International Western Music Association for the prestigious 2023 Working Cowboy Song of the Year and Song of the Year Awards. We're so excited for him. Please welcome Ed Meyer. Welcome, Ed.
Well, hello, y'all.
How
good to
be on
the show.
Well,
I'm good. How are you
with us?
Well,
good.
Thank you, sir.
Good, good. Yeah, we're doing great. Well, every time somebody comes on the show for the very first time, they have to tell our worldwide audience a little bit about them. So tell us where you grew up. And then, by the way, I'm going to thank you for your service because you were in the Navy for a number of years and retired there. But tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got started and how you got started in music.
Well, I was born in Texarkana, but I was pretty much raised in Nacogdoches, which is one of those stories that when I was riding bulls back in the day, one of the announcers said, "Yes, sir, this guy is from Nacogdoches, Texas." Of course, it was one of them up in Washington State.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah. My dad did a lot of singing, and then my stepdad was a steel guitar player, which I would love to have learned how to play steel, but my problem is I'm left-handed, and he said, I can't teach you. So, I started playing guitar when I was about seventh grade, eighth grade, something like that. And
wow.
I actually got to the point where people would say, we don't want to listen to you play anymore and stuff. And I said, okay. But one of these days you're going to pay to hear me sing and play guitar and stuff. So now they are. And,
gosh.
I was thinking the other day, a lot of the inspiration for the songs I get is like you said, it's just things that I've seen, people I've talked to. Some of the old cowboys and stuff that I've been around most of my life, that seems like where all the music is coming from.
Wow. Well, you know, for a lot of folks, and I'm gonna guess you and I are about the same age. So it start out with cowboy music, Western music, or what were your musical influences early on?
Well, I started out, I guess the first song that I ever really learned how to play was House of the Rising Sun.
Uh-huh.
And, and that's been that kind of dates you.
It does. So, it does.
But then I spent my time playing in clubs, not with a band, but a lot of sitting in and stuff. Of course, like you said, I was in the Navy, and I spent 22 years there and retired. But while I was on board ships, course, we had a lot of other guys that played, and we'd have bands. And so when we'd pull into some port someplace, we'd go play in a club somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Sit in with the band there. You know, we played. I had the opportunity to play in a couple of clubs in Australia when we were over there, and then the Philippine Islands and Japan, and won lots of talent shows running up and down the coast to California.
Oh, wow.
So
but you had a lot of experience.
And it's one of those deals when I was younger, of course, still in the Navy, I was actually offered a contract. And I said, I'm in the Navy. I'm staying in, going to retire. So how would that work?
It didn't work.
No, it wouldn't work. So I said, we'll just let it go at that. At least I know somebody thought enough of me, you know.
To offer it to you, yeah, yeah. So you went from playing music by the Animals, House of the Rising Sun. So how did you get into Western music?
I've always liked the Western music, and I think, you know, of course, like most of us when we were younger, we grew up with Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and Tex Ritter and that kind of stuff. And, of course, my dad playing in clubs, stepdad playing in clubs and stuff. I heard a lot of the stuff that he played. So I guess that's where I kind of got the stuff for doing in the clubs and that kind of stuff. But I always did old stuff. I never did top 40s. I wasn't into the top 40 stuff. So, but then we went to, my wife and I went to a cowboy poetry gathering in West Texas. Not West, early Texas. And we sat there in the heat all day, and I met some of the folks there, like Gene and Gary Prescott, folks like that. And I said, you know, I really like this stuff. And I had some stuff that I'd written, and I showed it to one of the guys, and they said, well, why didn't you show us this earlier? You could have got up there and performed.
Gosh.
So the next year when they had the gathering, he called me up and said, hey, we're having a gathering. I got you on the list. You going to be here? Well, sure.
There you go. So how was that first experience? Was that your first experience of the gathering? I know it wasn't your first experience because you played in all those clubs. But how was the first experience of the gathering?
I put it this way. It was in June or July, and we sat there.
Uh-huh.
From 9 o'clock in the morning in the sun at 100, and I think it got up to 102 that day. And the guy literally said, I cannot believe y'all have sat here all day long. I said, well,
oh,
that's good. I enjoy it.
Wow.
I told him, I said, anytime, just let me know when you're having them, where you're having them. I'll be there.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, I want to get some more music. We're going to come back and talk some more with Ed on the Campfire Cafe today. But this is a great song called Cowboy Till I Die from the album Cowboy Serenade. Tell us about this song.
That song was one that, and I was thinking about it the other day. I wrote that when I was 29 years old. Pretty old. Now, of course, I never recorded it. And or at least for release. Of course, I recorded it on, you know, so I could listen to it and see what I thought about it and that kind of stuff. But it's actually dedicated to two of my good friends that were born way too early. I mean, it's just the way it was. One of them's even got to a point where he learned to drive a stagecoach with four horses on stagecoach and stuff. And I still keep in touch with them. They were tickled to death when they found out that I even had it on a CD because I sent it to them. So they were even more tickled when they found out it was nominated for an award.
Well, let's take a listen to this song. It's Cowboy Till I Die. We'll be back and talk more with Ed Meyer today in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Sometimes I wake up with the sun shining in my eyes. I jump out of bed and pull on my boots, way past time to rise. Grab my old hat and swing open the door, see a semi rolling by. And all of a sudden those teardrops fill my eyes. Whatever happened to the open range and the longhorn that run free? Whatever happened to the Indians? What will happen to me? Now they tell me that I should settle down, face this way of life. But this old boy ain't never gonna change. I'll be a cowboy till I die. Maybe someday people will realize they're the ones that need to change. They're building their homes where the antelope roam. Dang sure is a shame. Whatever happened to the open range and the longhorn that run free? Whatever happened to the Indians? What will happen to me?
Till I Die, the 2023 IWMA, one of the nominees for Song of the Year, and Ed is our special guest today. It is from his album, Cowboy Serenade. Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you.
I always really enjoy, as I think our listeners do too, to hear a little bit from our guest about their songwriting process. Whatever that might be, this song, as you said, you wrote this back when you were 29. So tell me a little bit about how a song comes to you. How do you capture it? How do you keep it? How does it evolve into something that you perform?
A lot of time. Well, working where I work pretty much by myself. It's pretty much a one-man operation. And things pop into my head, or if I'm driving down the road, it's like one song that I'm going to put on a new CD that I'm working on. My wife and I were actually headed to church one Wednesday evening, and I said, write this down. And I told her the words so I could remember what the words were so I could expand on that. And it took me probably 3 months, I guess, to get that all down where I wanted to get the melody and everything together on it, which it's, if you listen to a lot of my songs, a lot of them are about old cowboys or old, you know, somebody old. This is what they said. This is what they did, you know. And I think about those things, and it just, that's what comes to mind. So that's what I write.
How did you decide on the 10, looking at the CD, yeah, on the 10 songs for this particular collection? Because I imagine you probably have quite a library of music and poetry that you perform. How did you decide on these 10?
Well, I just, a lot of it had to do with the fact that I wanted to do a CD. And one of the reasons I wanted to do it was so that when I pass, you'll have something. I mean, it wasn't to be big time or win awards with it or anything like that. So I just wanted to put original stuff on it. But I also wanted to put stuff on it that was inspirational, and that's the poems on there and Right On, you know. And one song, mm-hmm. one track that's on there. That's, mm-hmm. I wanted to leave something for the kids, you know, and the mm-hmm. grandkids mm-hmm. and stuff. So
I think Gary, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
Well, I was just going to say that was probably the biggest inspiration for the songs that are on there.
Okay.
Well, you've done
Gary,
good
because
I think you've left something that your children are going to treasure and remember forever. You've done a great job on this one.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're going to get to Cowboy Serenade right now. This is the title cut from the album, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Ed Meyer today on the Campfire Cafe.
Ponies are slowly along, listening to the sounds all around me. These are the sounds of a cowboy's serenade. Canyon, the beat of horses' hoofs on the trail, crack of leather on a well-worn saddle. These are the sounds cowboys serenade. The clatter of parts on the old junk wagon. These are the sounds of a cowboy serenade. Calling to companions far away. Song of a whippoorwill in a breast. These are the sounds of a cowboy serenade. Hear set of spoons. The quiet of an evening filled with stars. The laughter of good pods around the campfire. These are the sounds of a cowboy serenade.
The title cut from Cowboy Serenade. We're talking with Ed Meyer today on the Campfire Cafe. And Ed, we have had a lot of guests that have been on the show that have ridden broncos and bulls, and I still can't figure out why the heck you would ever do that. Why? Why would you climb on a bull and ride that sucker?
Thrill. Okay. Now I will tell you the story of my first bull.
Okay.
We were at a rodeo.
All right,
we were at a rodeo. I was sitting in the bleachers, and I'd gone to the rodeo with some friends of mine that rode broncs. And they
all
said,
right,
"Come on, we got a bull in the chute for you." I said, "Do what?" "Yes, we have a bull in the chute for you to ride." No, they literally drug me out of the stands and put me on the bull.
Oh my gosh! And they're friends?
Yes, those were friends.
Those were. That's key word. Were. Those
yeah, were.
Yeah.
Were.
But after that first one, I just got hooked. You know.
Oh well.
I rode up.
Well.
I quit riding when I was 29.
Well, that's about the time that you wrote that first song that we played. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Right.
That was pretty cool. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, we talked to folks that have ridden bulls and horses. I know, I think it was Jared Rogerson that we had on the show, and he rode broncos until he got so banged up that he decided he better just do music from then on. And I think Dave Stamey told me the same thing. Then he wasn't riding broncs or bulls, but he'd come off so many horses. He said, I thought it was safer for me to sing than to ride those crazy horses.
And I think Carlos Washington also, I think, has kind of the same story.
Yeah. But anyway, I never knew what possesses people to do that. A lot of folks do not know this, and you guys may not know this, but the PBR now has bull riding teams. You know, instead of just individual riders, they have bull riding teams. And the Nashville Stampede, based out of Nashville here, was the world champion last year. That was the very first year that they did the team competition. And so the Nashville Stampede won that thing. So I don't know where they are in the competition this year.
You mentioned that, and when I was teaching, I was the high school rodeo coach. One of the individuals that I had on the team is PBR world champion, Cooper Davis.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. 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 Well, I think that's cool.
I can't keep up with all that.
Yeah. I imagine you do. Tell us about how did you get into teaching? Because you were an ag science teacher, weren't you? How did you go from the Navy to teaching and then retired from that? How did you do that?
Well, when I retired from the Navy, I thought, well, I'll lay up for a while and not do anything. And a teaching job opportunity came up to teach Navy Junior ROTC at a school in Beaumont. So I said, well, I'll take that, because, you know, the military. And it was, I was driving 87 miles one way every day.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I decided, well, I better find something else closer. And I started teaching at Jasper High School, and I was the in-school suspension supervisor at the time.
Okay.
Well, then the welding instructor had to medically retire. So the principal came and asked me if I knew how to weld, and I said, well, sure. And he said, okay, we want you to put in for this job as welding instructor. Do what? Yeah. So I put in for the job, and he said, oh, yeah, you got the job. Just don't worry about that. So I started teaching welding, and I always wanted my kids were in 4-H and FFA and, you know, dealing with animals and all that stuff all the time. I always wanted to teach ag. So
yeah.
I said, well, I'll talk to a professor at one of the colleges here, and they said, about getting some summer classes for ag. And he said, no. He said, you know enough about it that just go take the test and you'll pass it. I said, nah. He said, just do what I tell you to do. I wrote the test. I know you'll pass it. So I went and took the test and passed it and went from teaching industrial welding to teaching ag mechanics and industrial welding and going with show teams and all that stuff. That's probably about the only thing I miss about teaching is going
yeah.
to the different shows that we got to go to.
Wow. Wow. So how many years did you do that in?
I taught for 18 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. And so since that wasn't enough, after you retired from the Navy and then retired from teaching, now you're managing a ranch. And we're going to talk
yeah.
about that after we play this nominated song, and that's Barbed Wire and the Rail. Tell us about this one real quick.
That's another one of those, you know, I was thinking about and you hear people talk about, you know, back in the day we'd go 400 miles and not see anything. And I got to think about the old cowboys that when they started throwing the barbed wire up and all the rails, train stations and yards came in, they didn't have to do all the traveling, you know, how did they miss it, I'm sure. So
yeah,
that's kind of where that came from.
All right. Well, this is Barbed Wire and the Rail. This was nominated for the Traditional Song of the Year by the IWMA. We'll be right back.
I was out riding fence late one spring day when I came across this old cowboy setting his horse up in the shade. A stranger he was, so I best ease up and have a talk with him. As I got close, he lifted his head, and I could see a bit of sadness in his eyes. So I said, old party, you lost? Is there somewhere I could take you or something I could do for you? He just kind of stares out across the fence and says, nope, son. And then he adds that, I want to ride across the plains like days gone by. Saddle up at the crack of dawn, chase the setting sun. I want to push a herd up the Chisholm Trail, any old trail will do. Those are only memories now since the barbed wire and the rail. Back in the day, there were herds out on the trail, pushing to the railheads, make the big sales. They stretch from here to yonder, make a drover and his keep. Those are only memories now since the barbed wire and the rail. The wire and the rails, they cut across the plain, leaving tracks on the prairie like a rattler in the sand. They climb over the mountains and down the other side, makes it so's an old cowboy can't take his last ride. I wanna ride to the edge of a mesa,
with the sun at my back, gaze at all the paintings created by our Lord. Wanna sleep underneath the starry sky, hear a coyote howl at the moon. But those are only memories now since the barbed wire is red. Now son, if there's any of these things you can do, be greatly beholden, but I know you'll find it's true. The days of my past, ones that I knew, those are only memories now since the barbed wire and the rail. Oh, the wire and the rails, they cut across the plain, leaving track on the prairie like a rattler in the sand. They climb over the mountains and down the other side, makes those an old cowboy can't take his last ride. Yeah, makes it so this old cowboy can't take my last ride.
One of the top nominees for 2023 Working Cowboy Song of the Year, we just heard Barbed Wire and the Rail, written and performed by our special guest, Ed Meyer. Ed, I know we want to switch gears a bit and talk about what you're doing now on the cattle ranch, but before we do, I just want to comment that again on this CD. The backup sound is so wonderful, and it doesn't cover your delicious voice to listen to. And I know that you worked with Aram Ameter right there in Texas. And I wondered if you'd like to just talk a little bit about, we know him. We have had many guests that have worked with him, and we just thought maybe you'd take a moment. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, Ben, as it was the first time being in the studio to do a recording, it was a little scary at first, but of course Aram made me feel very relaxed and stuff when I got there. But we actually, because I live so far away from him, I'm like 5.5 hours from the studio. So we spent 3 days in the studio just laying down the vocals and the acoustic guitar, my part. And then Aram got everybody else to play all the rest of the stuff on it. So I left it up to him. Because I figured, honestly, I figured if he was doing Chrislyn's, all of her recordings, he couldn't be too bad.
You were in good hands.
That's funny.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think, Gary, you had sort of asked a question before we went to the song a little bit about telling us about what's going on now with you and the ranch that you're working on.
Well, it's a real small cattle operation, cow-calf. We've got a small feedlot. We're just locally, we'll sell a whole or half a beef. And a lot of it is we sell to church members, you know, especially the older people, because we don't charge that much. Honestly, I tell the boss when we need to go up on price because everybody else is. Nope, that's not why we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So. But we're actually moving from Jasper, which the ranch is 27 miles one way from my house. We're moving from there over to a smaller place over in Newton because he's decided he wants to downsize. So we're moving to a smaller place, and I'm running in between the ranch in Jasper and the ranch in Newton, taking care of cows at both places and trying to get everything fed up. And
not busy at all.
The good thing about it, it's like the guy that I work for, if I say, hey, I've got to go to Albuquerque for, I'm going to be gone a week. Okay, as long as we got all the feeders fed up and the hay feeders are done, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they've even, him and his wife have even driven 4.5 hours just to listen to me play.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, how fun.
And I know not everybody has a boss that's that way.
True enough.
Oh, gosh. How long have you been doing that, Ed? How long have you been doing the ranch management thing?
No, let's see. I retired from teaching in 15, so probably a year after that.
Okay.
And I actually went to work for him building hay feeders.
Okay.
I've been there ever since.
Wow. Well, third career. Music.
No,
with music interspersed.
This is not a career. This is fun.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's the way it should be. That is the way it should be. Well, let's get to some more music. This one is called Nighthawk's Lullaby. Tell us about this song.
I hear a lot. It's weird because a lot of people say, you know, oh, yeah, night riders and different things that for the guys that actually ride at night.
Yeah.
And I did some research and stuff on it, and they were actually called Nighthawks, not night riders.
Uh-huh.
Night riders, if you look it up and look up the definition in the old cowboy dictionary, a night rider was basically an outlaw.
I started to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're riding to dodge, you know, the sheriff or posses or whatever. So I said, I'm going to write a song about it. But how do I, what do I put in it? So I got to thinking about who all might be out there at night, you know, where they might have came from, what songs they might have sang, how they'd come up with the tunes and stuff like that. And I just started putting it down on paper, and that's what I ended up with.
All right. Well, let's take and listen to Nighthawk's Lullaby. We'll be back in just a moment.
Riding in the night, and some of the time
really no tune, just the easy sound of his voice. Talking about that blue-eyed girl that he left behind, reciting some poem he heard in his nighthawk's lullaby. Light out in the darkness, take my turn at night. You never know what might be there, cause the cattle to fry. I ride around to calm them down, and a melody comes to mind. So I add some words and sing them low, my night hawk's lullaby. The full moon over the Pecos, cattle are bedded down. A sound that drifts out on a breeze over a sleeping herd. It's a soothing sound that a cowboy makes riding heard at night. Songs and stories, the days gone by, his nighthawk's lullaby. His nighthawk's lullaby.
Nighthawk's Lullaby, Ed Meyer. It is from the album Cowboy Serenade. Ed, it has just been so much fun visiting with you. I'm so thankful you joined us today. Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
So, well, that's a good thing. Then maybe you'll come back again. Would you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Sure
well,
will.
For our audience around the world that would love to get the album, how can they do that?
They can find me on Facebook and send me a request for one, and I'll get back with them, get the mailing address or whatever to send it to them, and I can actually do them either a CD or I can put it on one of them, what do they call them?
Thumb drive. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I could put it on one of those, you know, and send it to them. Or they can email me at Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R-E-E, the number 3, at gmail.com.
All right. So with all of that having been said, the easiest way is to go to Facebook and find Ed Meyer there and send him a message. But I can never remember those email addresses. So that'd be the best way to do it. But anyway, well, you know, we were talking earlier. This is your first album. I mean,
yes.
Cowboy Serenade is your first album. And then you turn around and you have two nominated songs off your very first album as you are in your third career. Or hobby, as the last one might be called. So you have a couple of other projects that are in the works. There is going to be no pressure whatsoever on you.
Oh, yes.
You know.
No, well, I do have, and I should have it in hand in the next couple of weeks, a Cowboy Gospel CD, which has some original tracks on it, and then some of some favorites that I've heard from other people.
Okay.
And I do them at church. And then we get back from convention or the annual gathering. I'm going back in the studio and work on another CD.
Wonderful.
Well, that is going to be exciting, and we are actually going to play our last song today. Will be the title for the new CD called "They Ride." But Ed, you have been so much fun to have on the show today. So we look forward to having you back, And if people would really like to find out more about you, they need to get to Albuquerque in November for the International Western Music Association gathering there. They have showcases that are going on all 3 days. And you can visit with the artists, buy their music there as well. So I would encourage folks that are listening around the world to travel to Albuquerque, New Mexico. What is that, November the 8th through the 11th? Is that right, Bobby?
Yep. And yes, and Ed will be performing Thursday from 10 to 10:25. He has a showcase, and he performs again, 1:45 to 2:45. And I think he's performing during the Veterans Breakfast. Oh, no, let's see. Is that Veterans Breakfast? Veterans Breakfast. And he's got a really full schedule. I'm excited to get to see Ed more than once.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun seeing this.
I'm going to do the poetry contest.
And the poetry contest. That's the other thing I'm looking at here on my big spreadsheet.
There you go.
Wonderful.
There you go. There you go. So plenty of opportunity. But visit Albuquerque at the IWMA convention, November 8th through 11th, and you can meet Ed and a lot of the other guests that we've had on the show as well. But Ed, you've been a lot of fun. Look forward to having you back, and we look forward to getting the new album when it's out, They Ride, as well. And so we're going to close this segment of the show with that song, They Ride, Ed Meyer. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Ride out through the darkness, shadows in the night. Ragged band of young outlaws, always on the run. Weary in the saddle, posse on the trail. Know they'll have to fight if they don't reach the river's edge. So they ride, still they ride, they ride. Many young cowboys lost out on the range. No place to go, no place to call home. Caught up in the romance, outlaw's way of life. Place to belong, though most know it's wrong. So they ride, still they ride, they ride. Knowing around the next bend, death may be at hand. There's no time to stop for even a moment's rest. They must reach the river's edge, cross to the other side. It's on Mexico soil, there are places they can hide. So they ride, still they ride, they ride. Safely across the border, another day to live. There'll be time to rest, and they'll plan their next run. Deep in their thumbs, know it could be the last. Bullet may find them, leave them cold on the trail. So they ride, still they ride, they ride.
Well, it's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to be talking with our good friend, Mr. Robert the Trailmeister Eversole. But we were talking about fall and sharing fall music the rest of the show today. So right now, let's take a listen to one from Mr. Bryn Hill. It's called Fall Coming. We'll be right back with Saddle Up America.
Summer's gone again. Tonight it's more than autumn, chilling in my blood. Tonight it's more than summer going down and gone. For tonight I feel the loneliness deeper than the mud. And I feel the fall. Anything different in the way she said goodbye, but it was something missing in her kiss. Something turned cold when she looked me in the eye, and I shivered like an aspen in the whisper of the wind. And tonight it's more than autumn, chilling in my blood. Tonight it's more than summer. Tonight I feel the loneliness deeper than the mud, and I feel the fall coming. And I could fight like a warm wind blowing on the breeze, drifting like our summer memories. But a cold rain starts a blizzard that goes blowing through the leaves. Like me, I'll keep my eye to the western sky, try to find shelter from the rain, and hope that she believes that I believe her when she lies, and make my getaway before the pain rushes in. For tonight it's more than autumn, chilling in my blood. Tonight it's more than summer going down and gone. For tonight I feel a loneliness deeper than the mud, and I feel the fall coming on. I feel the fall.
Fall coming on, Mr. Bryn Hill. And now we're going to welcome to the show Mr. Robert the Trailmeister Eversole. Hey, Robert.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back. So in Tennessee, the temperatures are like in the 70s right now, but they're getting ready to drop down into the 60s and in the high 50s a couple of days.
Oh, but you
lows
have color.
Will be in the 50s and 40s. The color is just starting to come in around here. But I'm in the
there
mood for fall.
There you go.
So how is it out? I am in the mood for fall. I'm telling you, it feels like fall. It was 58 when I got out this morning and brisk, and it just felt so good. How's your weather?
I had 36 this morning. And it rained all day. Yes, I started a fire in the stove two nights ago.
Oh gosh.
So, I'm fall is done. I'm tired of winter already, and I'm really looking forward to summer.
Oh gosh. Well, you know, I turned the heat on here for the very first time this past week, and because we had a little cooler spell, and so for like a day I had turned the heat on for the very first time, but felt pretty good.
Tis the season.
So, yep. Are you cleared to ride yet?
Yeah. Went out last weekend, actually. It was very pleasant. Had a good time. Ruger was a good boy. Took care of me.
All right.
So, yeah. So, I'm allowed to get back in the saddle. And, well, now, of course, it's raining and cold. So now it's easier to sit in front of the stove, I'm sure. But I got to get out more. Okay. I got to keep working on those boots. You know, I've been playing with those earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Kind of like to get some more miles under them, see how they go.
How will the weather be for you out there? I mean, are you into the rainy, dreary stuff for a while, or what?
You know, it's the Pacific Northwest. I don't know what we're going to do. Last year, we had snow on the ground at this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not this year, fortunately, but, you know, it's just gray and drizzly, cold, you know, but I think tomorrow's supposed to be pleasant up in the, you know, maybe in the 60s. So that will be nice.
Okay.
So,
all right, that'll be good.
This is a great place to really get your outdoor gear game on. You know, it's not bad weather. It's clothing that's not suitable for the climate.
Wow.
So,
well, now you just left Tennessee this past month, and
can you believe
the weather?
It's been a month. Oh my!
It's been a month. The weather is beautiful. People are getting out on the trails and riding and enjoying. This is really the best time of year back here in the East to be out on the trails because the weather is beautiful.
I believe it.
Color is coming in. And no humidity, really. I mean, it's great. We love it out here at this time of year. But
yeah.
Yeah, so you're back in the saddle, and you're not going to have terrible weather all the time. Do you have any plans on heading anywhere for any fall riding?
Just local rides. This time of the year, even on a normal year, by now, I pulled out of the high country. I mean, there's already snow. Yesterday, the radio was saying above 6,000 feet has snow already. So.
Right.
So this is getting into hunting season, and that for me that's not a good time to be out with the ponies.
No, that's not a good time. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
dodging bullets is not fun.
Right.
It's not fun.
So this time of the year we you know pull back into the, you know the locals. We become front country riders. You know, local state park, county parks, that type of thing.
So where do you go? What kind of riding do you have in your area for front country riding?
We have Riverside State Park here in Spokane, over 100 miles of horse-friendly trails. It's pretty rocky.
All right.
But it's very pleasant. I believe the campground is already closed. If not, it's going to be within days. For just a day ride, heavens, can't beat it. You can also get into the high desert. You just go west a little bit and hit some of the BLM lands, you know, and again, it's desert, so you're riding through sagebrush and the like, but, you know, that has its own thing. So there's plenty of riding. You know, like I said, the county parks, state parks. I like Riverside State Park because, well, it's close. Close is good. And it's just a nice place to, you know, keep everybody tuned up as best you can. And if I don't have to drive through weather, even better.
Yeah, that's
It's even better. Well, I tell you, Robert, to be able to get out and just, you know, day ride, maybe get in a 4 or 5 hour ride somewhere, just you and
that's
your horse,
perfect.
Where it's out nice and quiet, you know, it doesn't get a whole lot better. And then you can come back home if you want to, or, you know, sit around a campfire maybe and then head out or something. But
exactly. There's no such thing as a bad ride unless it becomes eventful, I guess. And even then we learn something.
You're the expert on that, my friend. I'm telling you what.
I would much rather not be, to tell you the truth.
I would think so.
For folks
that are listening out there, Robert and I actually met this past month.
In person.
He was in the area, and he took me out to lunch. National Hamburger Day, that's right. So we both had burgers at Outback Steakhouse. And then he was kind enough to bring me a bottle of wine, which I consumed promptly after I got home. So that was really nice. But it was actually great
was
to visit
pleasant.
With you for the very first time in, I think, 8 or 9 years that we've done, had you on the show.
Yeah, we've been doing
and
the
so
show
was,
for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 or 9
been
years.
Been on the show for
yeah.
a hot minute and never once actually met in person until last month. It was a highlight to the trip. It was
very, very nice. Thank you. It was really cool for me to meet you finally. So
and evidently
guy.
I passed the test. I'm still on the radio with you.
Oh gosh. Well, you're pretty fun guy to have on the show.
Thanks. But it was an excellent trip to Tennessee though. Just fabulous all the way around. Not only meeting you
Recap your trip for folks that are listening out there.
Two adjacent weekends in Tennessee. The first weekend I was at a place called Big South Fork, Timber Ridge.
Timber Ridge.
Horse camp. And I was doing clinics for a backcountry horseman there. So talking about trail riding and camping with livestock. And Gary, what a place. Not corrals, not high lines, no.
Right.
A barn.
Right.
A covered
barns
barn.
Barns with stalls. We have some
stalls.
Of those back here in the east. Yeah, we have some of those back here.
So barns with stalls, pressure water and electricity and all the fixins for all the people that were camping there. And there were a lot. I like to walk through the campground when I'm, you know, at a place like that and just ogle all the trailers and the different rigs. That and bum coffee and whatnot off of, you know, people at the campfire. So
You know, Robert, when you said that and ogle the rigs that are out there, a lot of folks say, well, these are just trail horses. They're just trail riders. These are just trail riders that are pulling in with $100,000 trailers.
Exactly.
You know,
I wish I had their tax problems.
Yeah. So it's not just the trail horse. That's really what people enjoy getting out and doing. And
about
this, you know, 97% or more of the people that are involved with horses are on the trails. That's
right.
That's
and even
what they
people
enjoy
that are
doing.
Into, yeah. And even groups, you know, that are, you know, the show group, you know, the performance type things. A lot of those people, they're trail riders as well to give their critters
absolutely.
A break from the arena. So
absolutely.
It's great for everybody.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so walk through, look at the rigs, talk with the folks. A lot of mule people there. I felt very welcomed.
There are a lot of mules out on the trails today. By the way, I'll share this with you real quickly. Because you were just up at the Big South Fork. This past weekend, there were some folks that are show people but they were also trail riders. They were out trail riding, and they ran into bees.
Uh-oh.
So they had a terrible bee problem, and they actually lost two horses packed up because of the bees attacking them.
Oh, heavens.
So how do we handle bees on the trail, Robert, besides just avoiding them? How do we handle bees on the trail?
I avoid.
And obstacles like that.
You know, I wish I had a better answer for you. I avoid, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're in them before you know, and you can't really avoid.
Right.
That, I squeeze hard and hang on, hope for the best. It's not.
That's really it, isn't it?
There's not a whole heck of a lot to do. I think some of our pre-ride preps, you know, is anybody allergic to bees? If somebody nods their head, you know, all right, where's your EpiPen in case we need it? Really, there's not a whole heck of a lot. Once bees are in the picture, kind of all bets are off.
I've never run into bees. I've never run into bees out on the trail, but I know it's a problem. And for example, in the Big South Fork, when somebody runs into bees, they post it right away on social media, so that other folks are aware of the fact and you know, can kind of stay away from them. But there's really not anything to do when you run into something like that, is there?
No, not so much. It's pick up the pieces afterwards. As miserable as that sounds, there's not a whole lot. Just hope it's not too bad and go about your day. But yeah, I'll especially this time of the year, you know, when there are all the bees. It's not really the bees. I think the entomologists listening are clenching their teeth. Well, it's because they're not bees. They're wasps. They're ground wasps for the most part. You know.
Okay.
Our friends Apis, what is the common honeybee? Apis something? It's not the honeybees that are the issue. It's wasps, ground-dwelling wasps who are, you know, getting ready for winter.
Are they wasps or hornets? Because I'm seeing a lot of hornets out here at my place right now. You know, the red ones?
Don't know. Red ones. Oh, heavens. Maybe I'm glad I'm home.
Those are not friendly critters, you know?
I believe it. Yeah, I'm not real familiar with the difference between wasps and hornets, other than they all sting, and I try to avoid all of them, like yellow jackets.
Mm-hmm.
We have yellow jackets a lot, and a lot of times they'll live in the ground. It seems like right at the side of the trail, you know.
Okay.
The first horse comes along, you know, wakes them up. Second horse, you know, annoys them. Third horse coming by, and it's all.
Too bad for you. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why you try to be first or last so you can see that stuff coming.
Oh, gosh.
So, but yeah. But I actually got an email a day or so ago, a person emailed and was asking about my take on GPS tracker devices, and they specifically mentioned Tennessee and horses got lost. I bet that was the same.
Could have been if it was a couple of days ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody told me yesterday that they were still lost, so I don't know if that's the case
heavens.
Or not, but yeah.
Well, hopefully they've got them found sooner rather than
well
later.
I hope so
but I wish I would have had a good answer for those people as well. I mean, most of the GPS trackers on the market now, like the Apple AirTags, those require a cellular signal to operate, and heavens, the places where we ride, that cellular signal
not too much signal
there.
Up there. That's
but they lost their horses all packed up, ran into bees, and heavens, that is a terrible way to ride.
I would say that's probably the same folks that were up there, but I'll have to check on that and find out whether those were recovered yet or not.
Huh.
So anyway, there are plenty of things to talk about getting out on the trails at this time of the year and riding, and bees are not one that you want to run into, or wasps or hornets or whatever the heck those things are. But it is a great time. It is a great time to enjoy the fall colors, and it is absolutely glorious in some parts of the country. And this is a good friend of ours, Miss Trinity Seeley, talking about Come On Fall. We're going to listen to that and come back and talk more with our good friend, Mr. Robert Eversole, in just a moment on Saddle Up America.
Yucca plant and the prickly pear, fall hanging in the air, leaves me wishing for the warm summer sun. Who am I to complain? Cowboy life is the bed I've made, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So come on, fall. Blow in your northern wind. Turn this high lonesome prairie to a cowboy's might have been. Blow in your lonesome, long and lonely night. Come on, winter, the cowboy's still alive. It's been a long, hard cowboy road since I settled here many years ago. You took my wife and my kids, but you put me standing grit. You made sure that I never quit. Now I'm waiting here like every year before. So come on, fall. Blow in your northern wind. Turn this high lonesome prairie into a cowboy's might have been. Blow in.
I'm kind of in a fall mood today. Things are beautiful here in Middle Tennessee, in the Nashville area. The temperatures are right. The humidity is right. And the colors
Does
are going to start to get
like
there.
Pumpkin spice?
If I go by Starbucks, it does. I think my wife has got some pumpkin stuff. She was, my wife, Mary Kay, just came back from Utah. And, yeah, so she had, her middle daughter got married. And so, thank you very much. And so they climbed up on a mountain for the service. And they were served mead and lamb and other homemade goodies that were out there. But when she was up there, while she was out there, she had pumpkin chili. Have you ever had pumpkin chili? I've never had pumpkin chili.
To hear it, I don't know that I would.
Well, she said it was really good. She said it was good.
There you go.
So I said, well, get the recipe and let's try it. But very interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Pumpkin chili.
Sounded interesting. It didn't sound that good to me because I'm not a big pumpkin person anyway, as far as pumpkin pies and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Pumpkin chili. Pumpkin chili. Huh. Brand new. Brand new
to my ears.
Tis the season.
Oh,
well, we were talking about the fact, Robert, that we're into the fall, and, you know, you got to watch out for the bees and the bears that are out there. What are some other things that people should be aware of while they're out trail riding at this time of year?
I worry about hunters this time of the year. You know your hunting seasons. You know, should I be wearing Blaze Orange? Sometimes it's probably a good idea regardless. So, you know, as well as, you know, unless we're just going down the way, you know, I kind of think about, well, the days are getting a lot shorter, and they are getting a lot shorter.
They are.
I feel
quickly.
I'm starting to hibernate.
Yeah, and time changes in just a couple of weeks, too, so.
Oh, hooray. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. November the 5th, I think, is the date on that. So.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, the time change. Make sure you change the batteries in your smoke detectors, I guess, as well. But yeah, so when you're planning a ride, kind of keep the back of your mind, hey, daylight's going to be gone pretty darn quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is this for the trail I want to take, can I be back before dark? As well as the weather, heavens. I don't think the weather quite knows what it wants to do this time of the year in the shoulder seasons. It could be, you know, 70 degrees and sunny, and 10 minutes later you have a stiff breeze coming in, you know. So just a couple other things to kind of think about. Really, for me, my biggest thing this time of the year is making sure that, you know, the house and the barn and stuff are ready for winter. That great time to make sure we've got that last of the hay in, and, you know, our water tank heaters, you know, are they working? It's been a full year since they've been plugged in, you know,
right. All
that good stuff. Are we ready for that 6 months of cold and damp?
Oh, man. Don't even talk.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh,
it's coming,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is coming. So, but yeah, I can try to make sure that we're all set for that kind of stuff and work out rides, you know, as we can in between, and just thankful for the clear days that we have. So,
well,
and then, of course, planning
it
for next year.
and then plan ahead to where you'd like to go for next year. But, you know, one of the things is that we were talking about doing the day rides right now, and so that's a great thing to be doing. Just to get out and just enjoy your horses, you know.
Oh, haven't
you? So you can, you know, you were at the Big South Fork. You could go up there and you could stay at some of the great campgrounds that they have and get out and ride for two or three days. There's 300 and something miles of trails out there. And so wherever you are in the country, you should have something similar in your area where you can get out and just enjoy yourself and,
or
and do some riding.
Take that drive. Be a snowbirder. Go from north to south where the, you know, drive south until the weather gets better.
a lot of people head for Florida. Yeah, a lot of people head for Florida right now. Or Arizona, you know. some of the other areas mm-hmm. that are out there.
Arizona sounds better every year, I think. So, but yeah, but like we said earlier, you know, with the rain and the cold, it's not, you know, it's not bad weather. It's inadequate attire. We're not going to melt. Our critters aren't going to melt. So find that good rain jacket. Hopefully, whoever's listening, if you have a good pair of rain gloves, warm, insulated, waterproof gloves, send that info to Gary because I need a set of good waterproof winter riding gloves, you know, so I can still feel the range through.
I always hated to ride with gloves, but that's a good point. I mean, you know, I can remember riding. Did you ever do like a New Year's Day ride? I used to just plan on, you know, what you do on New Year's Day, you're going to do all year long. So you get out and you plan a New Year's Day ride. Did you ever do any of those?
I have, and I've heard the same thing. And if it were true, I would be sitting in front of the stove having hot chocolate all year long, and it just doesn't happen. So I don't know I believe that old wives' tale. But, yeah, we've gone out, you know, and it's just, you know, I can keep my body dry. But my hands just get cold and wet and miserable, and that just ruins the whole fun of it.
Well, that's what I thought of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought of when you mentioned that. I thought, you know, my New Year's Day rides, my hands would get cold and my toes would get cold.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Tapaderos will help with your toes.
You rode anyway, but you were going to get out there and get cold, and I did not like riding with gloves on because I just couldn't feel things like I could with my hands. So I hated to wear gloves.
That's my big problem with them. So,
yeah.
But you know, you certainly appreciate the warm stove and the hot chocolate after one of those cold day rides. So that's a good thing with that. But yeah, I enjoy the time that we can get out and you know, since I am fragile and don't like the cold hand so much, we use winter more than anything. I don't like riding in the snow. I don't know what's underneath the snow a lot of times.
Right.
Winter is our time for groundwork tune-ups, really.
Okay.
You know, great time to get those ground manners locked in, you know, before the riding. If we're not working in the saddle, we're working on the ground, and I think that directly applies to compliance when we're in the saddle. So, you know, we might not be doing as much riding here in the next couple months, but that doesn't mean we're working less with the critters. If anything, might even be a little bit more because you can go out and do 10 minutes of groundwork, you know, at lunchtime. And you don't have to worry about getting everybody tacked up.
Right. So you can do that, and then you can get back and get in front of the stove with the hot chocolate again.
Exactly, and think deep thoughts.
Mm-mm-mm. Well,
so.
It's not going to be long, Robert, before we're going to have another show where we talk about preparing our tack and our trucks and our trailers for the spring riding. And
well,
that's always a good time to
be doing
it.
That, though?
Well, you know, so, we should do it all the time. I mean, we should keep everything ready all the time. But there are just times where people say, okay, I'm not out riding right now. I can clean tack and repair things that I've just kind of let go and kind of do things.
I'm pretty bad about the tack myself. After I got back from Tennessee, I got back. I think I may have stayed home long enough to do laundry, and then I drove to the west side of the state and had a week of saddle fitting over there. And when I got back, you know, it was, well, it's getting a little bit late, so let's get the trailer prepped for winter. You know, the last thing you want is a can of beans freezing in your trailer and bursting. So get everything winterized, and that was a good time to kind of go through all that good stuff to make sure that it was ready for winter, not just foodstuffs and any liquids that could freeze, you know, just that type of thing. So that was a good opportunity to get her tucked in and ready for winter. I did pull all my saddles and whatnot out, and yeah, they're just staring at me in the tack room right now, saying, "Clean me, clean me." I'll get to that at some point.
There you go. Well, listen, we're going to visit with you next month. Can you believe that next month is November? Thanksgiving.
It has gone so quickly.
I tell you what. Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'll be here before you know it, and then we'll be into 2024. Which is just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
It goes quick, so spend as much time as we can
fast.
On the ponies.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, we're going to visit next month. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of this preparation or that you can do as you're getting ready to get out on the trails again in the spring. And always
we
fun.
We could talk about visiting Tennessee again.
We could.
That
visit.
Would work as well.
You could visit Tennessee again. That would be even better. Come back.
There
to
you go.
Tennessee.
Everybody.
Yeah,
in
you
Tennessee,
can get out.
You know what I thought was special about Tennessee, Gary? Not
warm
so much
people.
In town. In town, your
what?
Traffic was horrendous, terrible, worse than
that
Seattle
is true.
Traffic.
That
but
is true.
But once I got out of town, people wave.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
random guy in a rental car, people were waving from their porches, and when you pass somebody on the road, you either got a wave or a little finger off of their and not the middle finger, but just a little hello finger off of the
that's
off
right.
steering wheel. It was just
that's right.
very nice. And I wasn't
well,
used to that.
My wife coming from Utah was just shocked at how warm all the people were as you go through, you know, drive-thrus at the restaurants or McDonald's or whatever. They're just so nice. What's the deal?
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. What's the deal?
That's just the South, baby. That's just the South.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, all right. We look forward to having you back again here in Tennessee. So we'll just have to plan on doing that. We'll have to get some... more girth building deals set up for you.
That would be a good thing.
Back.
That
right.
would be a good thing. You have a great Halloween, and we'll be
and
chatting
too.
Just before Thanksgiving. Oh, my.
And what is your website, by the way?
www.trailmeister.com, the largest guide to horse trails and camps in the world, actually. So give us
there
a visit.
There you go.
And there you go.
There we go. All right, Mr. Trailmeister, we'll see you next month. Thanks, Robert.
All right, everybody take care now. Bye-bye.
All right, and when the work's all done this fall, Mr. John Lowell will be right back.
Cowboys were discussing plans at ease. Said one, I'll tell you something, boys, if you listen, please. I am an old cowpuncher, although I'm dressed in rags. I used to be a good one, and I went on great long days. Once I had a homeboy, a good one, you all know. Although I had not seen it since many years ago. I'm a-going back to Dixie once more to see them all. Yes, I am going home, boys, when the work's all done this fall. Oh, now when I left my home, boys, my mother, she did cry. She begged me not to leave her there, for me she would die. My mother's heart is breaking, I've broken it, that's all. With God's help, I'll see her when the work's all done this fall. All is done. I'm going right straight home, boys, before my money's gone. I have changed my ways, now no more will I fall. I am going home, boys, when the world this fall. So Davey, take my bridle, and Ben can have my bed. Little John can have my saddle after I'm dead. Think about me kindly as you look upon them all. I'll not see my mother when the work's all done this fall. So they buried him at sunrise, no tombstone at his head. Just a little wooden cross, and this is what it said. Poor Charlie died at daybreak, he died here from a call.
Mr. John Lowell, when the work's all done this fall. Well, we've had a great time on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network today with the Campfire Cafe, our special guest, Mr. Ed Meyer, and then, of course, on Saddle Up America with our friend, Mr. Robert the Trailmeister Eversole. So we hope that you've enjoyed the show as well. We want to invite you to join us on Saturday for Live from Nashville. That begins at noon Central Standard Time. Our special guest this week will be Ms. Carolyn Seals from California and Mr. Lance Cowan from right here in Nashville. So that's going to be a great show. Carolyn has a brand new album out called On the Draw. So we'll be featuring music from that album, and we look forward to having you join us for that as well. We're going to close the show today with another song all about the fall. Beautiful fall here in Tennessee. I hope it is wherever you are. But this is called Early Fall, Miss Tisha McKenna. Thanks for listening.
There's a ring around the moon that says there's rain to come, and the smell of burning leaves is in the air. The days are getting shorter and the nights are getting long. It seems like summer's ending after all. Sure signs that we're keep.